It was good. Awesome. Who's over the rain? Who is over the rain? I think even the dairy farmers would be saying, we're over the rain. Man, our cafe down there, the cafe is open, by the way, people. So Joni is running the cafe. It's up and running. They've got a good chef. I haven't seen their menu yet. They had a bit of a soft start because the rain. The people had to use our car park, the church car park. They couldn't come into the cafe. The water got within like an inch from lapping, going into the building. And so I had to do a mercy dash, run into town, find a pump. And the guy said to me, he said, oh, mate, you're going to need a big six-inch pump. And I said, oh, yeah, sweet. Well, let's get it. And he said, it'll be $1,000. I said, no, 2-inch will do, bro. And so the 2-inch was $127. So I said, woo, thank you, Jesus. I dropped it into a sump and I pumped it into our car, church car park, which, by the way, was flooded. The water table is so high, the water could not get away. But I pumped it into our car park and it ran down to the end of our car park into the neighbor's vineyard. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, for vineyards. And so we were saved the day. And so all the bark that you guys helped us put on, that $6,000 of bark that you fellas helped us spread out there 4 years ago, it was floating in the car park. So I was out there sweeping it up and getting it and trying to get it back on the patches. And so I say to Sari, if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up this morning, you're not going to get a feed. It was a hard week. Yesterday it was great. We married Allie and Nick. So that was a great wedding, you know, it really was. You know, you would think that Allie, with all of her school teaching skills and that, she would be organized. There was no organization. We never even had a trial run. It just was like, let's just see how it happens on the day. And it worked. 7 kids, you know, I just thought catastrophe, but it was great. Vanessa did a fantastic job. We arrived here. And all of that cafe, yes, I think so too. Yeah, awesome, Vanessa. And we arrived last night, and so what you see today is not how it was, but all those chairs were stacked up, and she just turned that whole front area into a beautiful reception area. And Vanessa, you did great. Yeah, you really did great. You know, they're blessed to have you as a good friend. And so, guys, on one of the back tables there, Allie has asked. She has a book there that you guys can sign, friends of yous, of hers that didn't go to the wedding, or people from her church family here just want to write something nice and just congratulate them and maybe a few words of wisdom. There are 7 kids, you know, you're going to need a bit of that, amen? And but it's all good. It was a great day. And it was going to be, the venue was changed 3 times. The first place was flooded out. The second place wasn't good enough. And so we ended up having it at Woodford House. And it was amazing. It was really amazing. I want to share with you guys something that's really been on my heart lately. And probably a little bit of it is because of what's going on with my son, Luke. And I spend probably a proportion of my prayer time every day praying and thinking about him and thinking about where he is at and what's going on in his life. And you know, when they're out of your sight, you don't know what's going on. And sometimes we can tend to think the worst, amen, instead of thinking that you know, that God is greater and he is more able, and greater is he than is us than he that is in the world. And I started thinking about, you know, the treasures of our lives. Today, our family, a family is a treasure that we need to cherish. We really do need to do that. And yet, you know, the world would tell us that, you know, that we should be looking at other ways of doing things, you know, a new way for a new day sort of style. And if you have your Bibles with me, you see, I believe that the enemy is really wanting to steal the treasures out of our life. And he's had a lot of time to perfect this. He's had so much time, in fact, and he's become so good at it, things get stolen right from underneath our noses, and we think it's all good. And so when I was reading the Word the other day, I'm going to come back to my first scripture. There was in Jeremiah. I've been reading through Jeremiah and Isaiah and all of those, and I've been really enjoying these old prophets. You know, whereas back in the day, whenever I'd read the word, you know, and I'd come to them, I'd think, oh heck, too deep, and I'd flick them over, you know, and didn't want to have too much to do with them. But in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. It says, "Stand at the crossroads and look, and look." Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. And walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls, but you said, we will not walk in it. Well, we know that the Lord was talking to the Israelites there, but that is the same for many of us today. We often know what is the right way to walk, but we choose that we will not walk in it, Lord. We're going to walk in the way that the world would have it, or that because we don't want to be seen as standing out or being different from the world. Yes, we want to call ourselves Christians, but we want to live in the world. We want to live like the world, but we will still call ourselves Christians. And the Lord is not saying that. You see, many believers are being deceived to think that the way that the world lives is all right for the way we are to live. And the Lord said, that is not right. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. When I read that, I see, stand at the crossroads. Imagine yourself standing at a crossroad and you have three other options to go. You can either go straight ahead, you can go right, or you can go left. And I believe that when I was standing there and I was visualizing this in my mind, I realized it's decision time. You have to make a decision. You have to decide, are we going to follow the ways of the Lord, or are we going to follow the ways of the world? It's a simple question, really, and it's a simple decision to make. And it says, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is. We all want to go the good way, don't we? And walk in it says. And so, you know, as I started to think, I started to put this in Jack styles, and it's basically saying, if you want peace, if you want to build a solid family, excuse me, if you want to build a solid family, one that stands, a long-lasting marriage, a happy home, a successful life, it says, ask for the old path. You know, those are the old paths are the old, tried, proven, worn paths. They were great for those people back in those days, and they still apply for us today. It's not a new way for a new day. You see, we can get a little bit confused. You know, as I was reading Isaiah, I came into Isaiah 43:18-19, and it says, forget the former things. It's different. It's not saying forget the old ways. Don't forget the old proven paths and the way that God always intended us to walk our lives. It's not saying that. When he was saying forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, he was talking to the Israelites when they were in captivity, and he was basically saying this, I will still deliver you. I will still deliver you, my people, but it will be a different way. It won't be the same miracle that happened time and time and time again. Gosh, when I read about those Israelites and I see how many times did God rescue them and save them, and then they would fall away, and he would rescue and save them. He would allow them to spend the time and enjoy the consequences of their bad living, if you want to call it like that. But before long, they cried out again to the Lord, and he delivered them. And I thought, what a good God. What a good God. You know, we look at our lives today, and we think, well, you know, we're not as bad as them. Heck, it's not like we're worshiping idols. Well, aren't we? You know, sometimes we think that we are better than them. But I believe we're coming into a day where the Lord is going to return. And when that tells me, what that's telling me is that we're not better than they're living. That, you know, we are in a time now that people are living crazy, crazy lives. Believers as well, living crazy lives. And I think the Lord's saying enough is enough. But anyway, you know, he wasn't talking about that. Yes, it is a new day. It is a new day. But, you know, if you're wanting the blessed life, then we need to walk the tried and proven path. Amen. It says, ask or look for the old way. And when you find it, walk in it. And when we do, we can be confident. Amen. When we choose to walk the right path. I'm going to drink this one. When we choose to walk the right path, we can be confident that God will order our steps. Amen. And that we will have a blessed life. We will be able to, we will find rest for our soul and peace for our life and our family. And it will build a sure foundation for our families. Amen. A lot of families today are built on a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And so as when our families grow, we start to see them crumbling around us. And we wonder, why has this happened? And I look at my own life and I look at my own family and I can see that, not that many years ago, I was building on the wrong stuff, building my family on the wrong stuff. And I look at where my son is today, and I'm not saying that I'm take all the responsibility of the choices he's made, but there are some things from his life that possibly the way that I built, he gets to a certain stage in his life or a certain wall that he comes up again, or he tries to build on it, and all of a sudden the foundation of how he was grown up starts to crumble. And I realize enough is enough. We don't want that for our families today. And so the Bible says we should walk in the old path. We should find it. When you find it, walk in it. When you find it. And I believe we need a revival of the old ways today. We need to breathe them back. They need to be breathed back into life. We need to hunt them out. We need to grab hold of them. And we need to make a choice. Amen? Which path are we going to take? Are we going to go straight ahead? Are we going to follow the path that we're already walking? Or are we going to find the old path and take it? You see, one of the things is that one of the reasons that, people are struggling and as believers struggle, and more so today, is because we don't know the word. We don't know the way. We don't know the way the old people live. Amen? We just don't. And the other thing is that it'll make us different if we choose to be solid in the way that we walk. It'll make us different if we make a stand and we say, this and no more. I'm not going that way anymore. This is the way we're going to bring up our children. We're going to bring up our children. We're going to have a strong and an awesome marriage. These are rare commodities, amen. These treasures are being stolen from us by the deceit from the enemy. Because any old path will do. And it's not. There is a proven path that worked. And we will have a solid foundation for our families to grow on if we take it. So if you want true peace for your soul, we got to find the old path. And I started to think about this. So how do we do that? How do we find a path that's well-worn and that has been proven over the... For us, it must be, we must find it in the Word. Church, we must find it in the Word. It's got to be in the Word. If you drive a Toyota and you want to know how does your Toyota work, you go to the Toyota manual. We don't go to a Honda manual or a Suzuki or a Colorado or whatever. We go to the manual of the vehicle that we need to know about. And so for us today, the Bible is our manual for living. It really is. There is no other way. The Word, eh, Cheryl? It's got to be like that, church. And so, you think that you're sort of, that we're trying to drive something, but yes, we are. There is no substitute for the Word. And so if we want to find the tried and proven path, we've got to go to the book that puts us on the tried and proven path. Amen? If we want to walk separate from the world, we want to be different, we want to bring our kids up to be different, we want them to have a greater morals, we want to have them, they have a stronger character and a good life, then we can't go and use the world's manual. We must use the manual of the Lord, amen? The book of life for us. And that's what it is. It is the book of life, amen? It is the book of life. And so as we study, what we do is we study the principles that made men and women in the Bible successful. The Bible is full of people that had tremendous lives and tremendous marriages and brought their children upright. But it's also full of examples of good men of God that's children went crazy. And you see the consequences of that in their lives. You see that the parents didn't stand up. They didn't make a decision to teach their children to do right. Just any old way will do. Whatever happens will be good enough. And they'll have to live with the consequences of their lives. But that's not how God expects it for us. I think about children. I have a gift from God, and they're and I have a responsibility to speak into their lives, and they don't always like it. They don't. You know, when they come to me and they say something, or I see something that's happening, and I get with them and say, guys, you know, I love you too much to allow this to happen. I need to share with you the way that God would have you go. But you choose, but I need you to know, so at least you can say, nobody told me. Yeah. Need to show them the path they need to walk, amen? Yeah. And so, you know, how did these men handle men and women in the Bible, great men and women, how did they handle their lives? How did Joseph handle temptation? I can tell you, he never flirted with it. He never thought he was so good that he could just flirt with it for a moment and just enjoy a little bit of a moment. No, no, no. He knew. He knew that if he flirted for a moment, that maybe his character and his nature would start to stumble and fall, and the next minute he'd be in big trouble. So what did he do? He ran. He ran. He didn't walk away. He didn't say, hey, back up off me, girl. He bolted. He ran out. And you might say, well, he's a bit of a coward. I say, no, no, no. Wise. That's the well-worn path. You know, I think when Joseph ran, he cut a track so deep, we wouldn't have any trouble finding that path. Amen? And so, you know, how did they build their families? What path did they walk in, these men and women of the Bible? You know, study the apostles. Study how the apostles lived. How did they handle disagreements? How did they handle the hassles that came their way? They were in controversy all the time. How did they handle it? Those are the things we need to find out. Hebrews says this, Hebrews 13:7, it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What it's saying is to consider the outcome, consider the end or the finish of their lives. You know, anybody can start, amen? Anybody can start. The apostles started. But what it's saying there is it's saying, you know, the Lord is confident when he writes this. He's saying, consider the outcome of their lives. Because the outcome of their lives is how they finished their lives. Did they finish strong? Yes, they did. Did they finish with a high moral and character? Yes, they did. Did they deal with people that they came into that were challenged them on the way that they lived or the way that they spoke or their beliefs? Yes, they did. And so, you know, we need to consider their lives. We'll find all that in the Word of God. Amen? We find all that in the Word of God. And this is what I want. I want this for my life. I don't want to start well and then finish poorly. I want to start well. I want to finish well. And as my children look at my life, they will see that the way that Sari and I have lived, I'm hoping that they will see that as a good life and a good way to live. And they will teach their children the same way. They won't be afraid to when their kids say, you can't say that. You know, I've got rights and I've got this and that. They whip them down to the little side bedroom and yeah. Any police in the room? Perky. Fingers in the ears there, brother. Yeah, it's called behavioral correction, or correctional behavior. That's what it's called. So, you know, we have these two treasures, I believe, and there's many treasures we have in our life, but I want to look at a couple this morning, and I think that many of us are actually unaware of how important they are and how valuable they are to us, and I believe that that's family and our walk with God. And these are treasures we need to preserve. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have, anybody have Netflix? Come on. Netflix. And, you know, whenever there's something dumb on TV and I think, I just want to relax, you know, I've been out pumping water, or I've been out in the rain or doing something, I just want to go and find a movie that I can go chillax with. So I just go down to my bedroom and flick off the lights and I just hook it up onto my iPad there. And I went in and I was watching this movie the other day called Monuments Men. The Monuments Men. I think it was on TV the other day, but it was something I didn't really want to watch. And then I went on to it and in my room there, and I thought, man, this is a great movie. It's a George Clooney directed it, and it's actually a true story. And what it is was, it happened during the World War II. that these Monuments Men, they were a group of men from 13 nations, and they had one purpose, and it was this: go into the cities that were being attacked by the Germans, find the city's treasures, protect them, and preserve them.
Wow.
Find the city's treasures, protect them, and preserve them. That was their job. And you know, Hitler was, what was Hitler trying to do? He had a bit of a problem with the Jews. I did a bit of a research on this, and Hitler's issue was this. He tried to get into some school of arts, and the board that he had to stand before was made up of mostly Jews. Well, he got shot down. He never got in. And something brewed in his heart and brewed and brewed and brewed in his heart to the point where he despised and hated Jews. And so that was the greatest thing in his life that he could do, was to when he became Hitler and he went into these cities, he was to destroy everything they had, steal their treasures, and if he couldn't cart it off, demolish it. Wipe out their history, wipe out their treasures, steal the treasures of these cities. And these monuments' job was to go in there and preserve and look after and preserve the heritage and the culture of these things. Now, these guys, they were not soldiers. They were like artists and museum dudes and historians. You know, they were guys, they didn't have fighting skills and stuff. And so they went in there and they preserved this culture. And so I wrote this down this morning because I thought it would be better if I read it rather than just off the cuff. They were to go in and find, protect the treasures of those cities, to keep the treasure and the culture of the past alive, to save it, preserve it, to inspire future generations, because there was an enemy trying to steal it. To inspire future generations. Now let me go back to the scripture that I was going to use at the very beginning. And it's in John 10:10, and it says this: the thief comes. The thief comes. Satan comes only. I never understood why it said that, but it says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Who are they? The sheep. Amen. The lost sheep of Israel. But you know, Satan, it goes on to say, Satan comes only. He has no other purpose, church, but to steal from you. Kill every good thing in your life and destroy it. And that's exactly like what Hitler was wanting to do. We're fighting the same battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle in the same way that the World War II guys were fighting, or those Monument Men were fighting the same battle. Amen? And so we need to be like those Monument Men. We need to protect our treasures and our lives for the next generation. I want to say that there's art and there's treasure in your homes. Sometimes we just take it for granted that we have a certain sort of a family life, but it's a treasure. If you have a good family life and a good relationship with your children, it's a treasure. And we need to protect it, amen, for the next generation. There's art in our homes. There's treasure in our families. There is. A family that believes the truth of the word. I'm going to read a bit more stuff because I didn't have time to research, to really get it into me this morning. A family that loves each other is a treasure. And I know many that don't. I know many families that don't, that they can't even come together at Christmas time because they hate each other. And some of you would know these, know families like this. Husbands and wives, because there's been split up marriages. And I got a phone call yesterday from a woman who said, my husband's, you know, he's not allowed to bring his kids to your church. And, you know, I've got it with the lawyer. I don't want my children to get any religion on them. And, you know, I'm afraid that you're going to brainwash my children. It was a great conversation. And first of all, I want to say, hey, you stupid lady, get over it and hang up. Because I had a busy week. You know, normally I wouldn't be like that. But I had a great opportunity to share with her that that's not what we're about. Was able to share with her, you know, about Christianity, and it's different from the old traditional type things or any sort of a culty type thing that she's watched on TV and all of this stuff. No, it's about a relationship with Christ, and we're not going to brainwash your children. We're not signing them up in blood that if they come to church, they're now denomination is New Life. She said to me when she finished, she said, man, I've never heard it like that before. I just want to thank you for taking the time. But she wasn't sounding like that when she was ripping into me in the first couple of minutes. But at the end, it was great. And I thought, this is a good thing, amen? But you know, these families, they're divided, they're split up, they're broken. And every time that happens, I could hear the enemy chuckling in my spirit, thinking another family destroyed, another treasure stolen for myself. Amen? You know, a family where you're not afraid to say sorry, that's a treasure, isn't it? And that's rare. You know, when we do something wrong, to say, hey, forgive me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And sort that issue out right then and there. Amen? You know, these are rare commodities. They're very rare. A marriage that's intact. I'm not talking about a perfect marriage. I'm just talking about a marriage that's intact. It's rare, but it's worth fighting for. It really is. You know, when I was praying for Allie and him yesterday, I was thinking, Lord, bless this marriage. Let this marriage be one that will do the time, that will be until death do you part. Let them learn about the loves the type of love that will hold a marriage, the glue that will hold a marriage together, that will make it last, so that they'll finish their lives well. And all of those kids that they've got, dear Lord, if anybody needs help, they family do. Seven children, isn't it? Seven kids, and they all look the same age. And I'm thinking, there's going to be a time where they're going to be asking for help. So let's be a good family, amen, and help this family. It'd be great. Seek where the good way is. Ask and walk in it, and you will find rest, peace, rest in peace for your soul, says the Lord. Family that pray together, they stay together. Amen. Families that worship together, that come to church together. It's not about being in church, it's about being together, and it's about enjoying the presence of the Lord. It's about worshiping and praising amazing God. And that's worth, it's worth fighting for and preserving church. There's so many people that we come to church and our kids get to a certain age and they're gone. They don't want to have a part of it. Somewhere along the line, we have failed as parents, I think, that happens. Yes, they do make their own choices. But sometimes, you know, it's us. Let us not be afraid to be a family that says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I said those things. Please forgive me. Amen? The other thing about the monuments men, their task was threefold. It was to record and report the condition of the treasure after the battle. See, they didn't always get to the treasures early enough. So the battle had already gone through. Things had been smashed. Hitler's job, he couldn't get that stuff out of there fast enough. So what he did was he went in and snatched and grabbed, put it all on trucks, took it into underground places and bunkers and stuff, and hid it there. And he was going to come back after the war, grab all that stuff, and build a monument for himself in defiance to the Jews. And so these guys would find it, and they would record it and report it. They knew every city. These guys were like sharp cookies. So they knew the treasures of those cities before they even went in. They had a list of paintings that they were looking for, a list of gold things and treasures and things that were the culture and the heritage of the city. They knew what they were looking for. It wasn't by chance. And so as they came across it, they would sign it and tick it off. And when they realized one was missing, they would go and hunt it and try and find it down. And so the next thing that they were to supervise emergency repair work. Anything that was broken that could break further, they were to put it together. Hold it together. Amen? Hold it together. Don't let it decay any further. And make sure that no further damage was done. And I thought, man, what a great lesson for us. You know, and every family goes through battles. It doesn't matter whether you're amazing parents or, you know, we've got a nature, and our children's nature often is different than ours. You know, we get older, we get a little bit wiser, we've been walking in the Lord a little bit more, we've learned a few things, but our kids always think they know more than you know. And so when you try to challenge them on something or speak into their lives about something, battles erupt. And it become like a battle zone, a war zone sometimes. You know, my three oldest boys, Tony and Kimberly, came on 8 years later than these guys. So these fellows, the older ones had kicked them around a little bit. They didn't have a say. But Sam, Tony, and Luke, or Sam... There's too much kids going. Luke, Ross, and Sam, they were really close together. And so they fought. Man, they'd come home bleeding, and I'd think, who's... I'd think, who beat this kid up at school? Well, Luke gave me a hiding on the way home, you know? And I thought, man, they fight, you know, brothers, they fight. Brothers against brothers, sisters against brothers, husbands and wives, and it happens to the best of families. It's an inevitable thing. If you're a family or you're, it's like in a church. Don't expect to come to a perfect church ever. Because you'll be hurt. You'll be disappointed. Especially, we fight. We shouldn't. But we have to make up. Amen. It's an inevitable that fights will happen. And when they do, you know, as monuments men, we should all be like the monuments men, men and women, I should say. When they do, we should assess the damage. It's going to happen, but don't just whatever happens, happens. Don't whatever will be, will be. See, we need to be like these monuments men. Assess the damage. Assess it. Well, what's happened here? And then we need to fix and restore it. We need to kiss and make up. Amen. You know, as a father, I'd get my kids together and I'd say, Sam, say you're sorry to Luke, or say you're sorry to Ross. And they wouldn't want to. And I used to think, well, this is a waste of time. But you know, there's power in words. There really is. And you might think when they say, oh, I'm sorry, it's because you've got them by the scruff of the neck and both, you know, like, say you're sorry. And he'd say, you know, I'm sorry, Luke. And Luke would say, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, Sam. And you know, but I don't mean it. And I'd say, boop. Say you're sorry, mate. And he'd say, I'm sorry then, you know. And then they'd walk off. But you know what? 5 minutes later, they'd be laughing and having fun in their room and doing stuff. And they had a common something to nag about. We hate that old man, but who cares? You know, he's too tough. Did he hit you harder than me? Whatever. But the power is in the tongue. I'm sorry. We need to be like those monuments men, amen. Romans 12:18 says, if it is, I hunted for this and hunted, and I've used it so many times. Romans 12:18, if it is possible as far as it depends on you. If you've got a problem that something's happening in your marriage, or she said this or he said that, you know, as long as it's, if it's possible as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Thinking about that peace, Jesus pronounced peace, a blessing on the peacemakers. Be a peacemaker. Don't let the enemy come in and steal the treasures of your life. Amen. We should not wait for others. You cannot rely on the other person. We need to be the one who makes the decision. Amen. You know, I'm going to finish here. Sometimes we look at our lives. You know, I get a phone call and I hear something that's, I get a phone call about Luke from Wellington, and I think, oh Lord, this situation just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And this story in this monuments thing came to my mind. There was a guy in there, his name was Romer. He goes into a city that is absolutely flattened. And there's the ally bulldozers are leveling the building. But he's looking through his book, and he comes across a cathedral type thing that was a treasure, something that was of great value in that city. And he sees a bulldozer starting to come in and knock it down. And he looks at it and he sees everything smashed except one wall, holes in it, all broken down. He jumps in front of the bulldozer and he says, "Stop! Stop!" He says, I have a letter from Eisenhower here saying that this is worth protecting. I'm going to protect this. And the guy, the commander, he comes out and he starts to rip into him. And he says, mate, you can say what you like. I've taken photos of this. You knock this down and I will hold you responsible. So he curses and then turns the bulldozers and drives away. And, you know, what that spoke to me is that we might have a situation. You may have a situation in your life that seems impossible. You might look at it and think the walls are broken down, there's holes, it's unrepairable. But I want to say to you today that in God, all things are possible. It is possible to repair the most damaged wall in your family or in your marriage. You may look at your marriage and think that it's over. That you know, she did this or he did that, and it's over. My marriage is not worth fighting for. I want to say to you today, yes, it is. It is. I'm sure when Nehemiah looked at the wall and saw it all broken down, he probably thought too, well, we can rebuild this, but man, you know, we got to fight for it. What a job. You know, it was a huge job, but it can be saved. Amen. We need to save the treasures in our lives. Forgive, pray, forgive again, love, kiss, make up, say I'm sorry, forgive again, go again, go again, go again. Sometimes you have to go and go and go and go and go, but let me say this, it is worth it. When you see your family restored, it will be worth it. When I see Luke sitting in church again and I see his life good and I see his relationship with God good again, it will have been worth it. It will have been worth all the tears. It will have been worth all the prayer. It will have been worth all the warfare. Amen? And yet I look at it right now and I see the holes and the broken down walls. And yet the word of the Lord to me is, don't give up. Go again. Sari read it out today. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest. If you want to see something great come into your family, sow into it. Sow the thing that you want into your marriage. Sow the thing that you want into your children. Sow those things. And in due time, you will reap a harvest of those things. Amen? I just want to finish right here. The miracle is not in what's been lost. This is something you could write down. The miracle is not in what's been lost. The miracle is in what's left. Amen? If something's lost, it's lost. But if there's a hint of any of it left, that's where the miracle takes place. Amen? Awesome. Father, I thank you.